Siren Radio.
Well, it's a hearty well done, Ed, then, from the citizens of the Western world and beyond. Phil, it's delightful that you're back with us as ever, but would you like Gabriella to launch with the weather forecast first from Gibraltar, or it's entirely up to yourself. I'll put you in the seat. I'm putting you in the hot seat with me, basically, Phil Linus. You need to make that decision.
Oh, I don't think your seat could be that hot, because it does look like it's going to be a chilly day there in Lincoln. But please, I would enjoy hearing Gabriella tell us about the weather.
Gabriella, over to you.
Okay, so the weather in Lincoln today is highs of 15 degrees centigrade, lows of 5 degrees centigrade. It will be a mainly dry day with long spells of sunshine.
Live from Gibraltar, with or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Excellent. And now, Shaley, it's time for a very important time before we actually find out whether Phil Linus actually is in agreement. Does he concur? Does he not concur with that sentiment? Is he too worried about having to get all the three detainees from North Korea on the next edition of Chill Pack Hollywood to actually sort of welcome and build the bonhomie now that all's pals with Kim Jong-un and the Donald, whilst he actually sort of has irritations with people in Iran? The important thing is actually something I was thinking I was going to launch yesterday. But no, 20 seconds, Phil Linus, I'm going to provide for you now, in which you can settle back and just appreciate what we, that's the Midweek Drivettes in the UK, have actually put together for you, Phil Linus, in Los Angeles.
Weekly wow. Chill Pack Hollywood podcasts, monthly Los Angeles Breakfast Club shows, a cat called, yep, Fuzz Aldrin, and partner to the awesome Lily Holman. Just some of the co-creations filmmaker Phil Linus brings to the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions.
It's not very quiet.
He's speechless.
I don't understand it, but it sounds good.
Well, you know, so would you like to share the actual weather forecast for Lincoln from Los Angeles, please, just to ensure that we actually dot the T's and cross the I's, see what I did there, of this particular element?
Well, I don't enjoy humidity, and so I do gravitate towards the fact that you have a rather high barometric pressure bearing down on you today. It's going to be a little humid, though, as I mentioned earlier, it will be a fairly chilly day. Yes, no chance of rain. Scattered spells of sunshine. I love that. I could not say that better than Gabriella did. So enjoy the weather. You are looking at a little rain coming this weekend.
Excellent. And just in case you thought we'd been remiss in betwixt marking duties and various other bits and pieces, no, this is for you.
Shaley McKenzie, one of the rare Midweek Drivettes who connects South Africa, Scotland and Lincoln in one bundle of bouquets for Siren Radio.
Yes, congratulations. You too have now actually
honored.
You have got your own ident.
I'm taking that with me, by the way. I'm just going to play it everywhere I go.
You could appreciate, Gabriella, the excitement. I mean, I don't know if you can think back to the day when you
remember how excited I was.
Oh, my goodness.
It is a lot of fun, isn't it?
This is it. We're family now, Alex.
There you go, in the words of Sister Sledge. Phil Linus, as ever, a delight. Now, I gather in Chill Pack Hollywood terms, you have been reviewing Avengers Infinity War this week. Shaylee's seen it this week. Do you want to share some thoughts, or would you prefer to... Gabriella, have you seen Avengers Infinity War?
Yeah, I've seen it as well.
Ooh,
well,
nice.
We've all seen Avengers Infinity War. So is Richard Fitzwilliam, who's going to be talking about that, as well as the Jersey Potato Peeling Society. It's very strange. Gabriella, would you like to share your thoughts first on this fantastic trailer for Avengers Infinity War 2, which is due out in about 12 months' time?
Well, I hope they reverse the ending of the film.
Reverse the ending of the film? Reverse the polarity of the neutron flow?
I don't want to ruin it for people who haven't seen, I do hope they reverse it because it was quite sad towards the end.
Do you think that's likely? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it may well be that... Anything's possible in Hollywood. Do you know, that's almost the Linus Holliman Haglund mantra, I believe, in many ways. Anything's possible in the next half hour. It's a Stingray reference. Shaylee.
I'm just excited to see what happens with Captain Marvel.
It was a good trailer for that. Film. Very big trailer where he was. And, of course,
and it's a woman this time as well.
Captain Marvel's been a woman for quite some time, actually. I mean, I know the original Captain Marvel was indeed a male, but then it sort of shifted. It's the cosmic bands that sort of work through a variety of bits and pieces there. Or just blame Jim Starlin, one of the two things. You, of course, cried not only at Infinity War, but also when you got a job. So got
I did, yeah.
Cried on both.
I'm a crier.
Wish we were on. Phil Linnister, I haven't actually listened to the Chill Pack Hollywood episode in which you do critique Avengers Infinity War, coupled with tributes to Michael Anderson, coupled with a whole variety of wonderful things here. So I'm flying blind here, but I'm going to say, not so impressed really from your own point of view, or am I wrong? Is it a case of yes?
Well, I think I shared sort of with you. I feel like any review of it is sort of pointless because you used the word trailer. I think it's. Dean said the movie is a trailer for itself, or at least for its ending, and I think that was kind of your comment. I said that it's, at the very least, it's a trailer for part two. And I sort of feel like, again, it's like reviewing the first half of the final Harry Potter movie. The proof is in the second part. So until we get the second part, I can't really judge how the first part sets everything up. I only know that it's sort of exhausting how hard it's working setting everything up. Dean, on the other hand, out and out detested it and thinks that everything that was once great about Marvel is gone. There you go.
Dean. Look, just you can't take that with you when you go to Detroit. I mean, that's that sort of attitude is not going to help at all. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You know what? But he does have a point. What made the Marvel movies refreshing at times does sure seem to be waning. But every time that happens, then they reinvigorate themselves. So it could just be, again, that it's, like I said, you know, that first half of the final two-part Harry Potter, people forget there were a lot of complaints about the tone of that film. But then when you get a chance to see it as part of a whole, which is, let's face it, how the story is meant to be appreciated, then it plays differently. So I just find it's one of those movies that there's really no point in reviewing.
Well, that'll help Richard Fitzwilliams on his particular job. Never mind. Richard clearly...
Why is Richard reviewing movies from Sci-Fi London? That's what I don't understand.
Do you know, partly as far as this show is concerned, because the deal with Sci-Fi London is we have Fiona Moore and Alan Stevens doing the movie reviews together with Louis Savvy and so on. Richard, I think sometimes you can only stretch so far, and what with his duties for Royal... And obviously with the Royal Wedding that's happening these days, I mean, the front...
Isn't it soon?
It's a week on Saturday. Uh-huh. Week on Saturday, FA Cup final day, to be precise. And we already...
They've done that on purpose.
I would have thought so. The Meghan Markle effect. Can the Republican movement survive it, according to The Guardian? Don't worry about this or Trump action. They're referring actually to the campaign to have a Republican of Britain. I just think we should become a 52nd state of America, personally. I think that would be a lot better, and we can have a real president in charge.
Wait, what would the 51st state be?
Do you know, that's very good. I get very confused when it gets to 50. Yeah. Is it Hawaii? Is it Alaska?
All you're saying is that you'll be 52.
Yes.
Once we get a 51st, then you're next.
Yeah. Okay. I'm thinking maybe North Korea or possibly Iran.
Oh, my goodness.
Could be. I mean, now that sort of, you know, hostilities have actually sort of eased back on one of those cases, why not go the whole hog? You know, that's the clear line. Why not? And then, you know, it's a done deal. You know, friends reunited, to use an age-old website scenario. Shaylee, what have we not asked Gabriella this morning?
How's Frodo?
Clearly.
Very much, well, I think he's now gone to the other room to sleep, but he was very much awake half an hour ago. Mm. Just yet went for a walk and saw two lovely gold dogs. So
nice.
It woke him up.
Last night, of course, we were featuring part one of our Eurovision scenario. I'll give you the quotes that we have from journalist Caroline Frost. It's not just a camp singing contest. If you want to understand Europe's politics, you need to watch Eurovision. It's the second semi-final tonight. We've already had a few surprising departures from the first semi-final. Sadly, no place for Switzerland in this year's Eurovision Song Contest. They didn't quite make it. I really thought they would, but they didn't. Ireland did, so nice lines from that. The big five, of course, the people who actually put in the most money will be there. They, of course, being Italy, Germany, France, Spain, and the UK, Wyoming, and, of course, Australia and Israel will be keeping the European flag going. Don't panic, Phil Linus. Australia, should they win, and they haven't qualified as yet, but should they win the Eurovision Song Contest, they would have to nominate a country in Europe to actually host the event next year. We say all aboard. Is it flying the flag of Los Angeles? Will this be a cultural review and event that clearly Chip Hollywood will be focusing on, allowing for the fact that Eurovision is the canary in the political coal mine? You look at Eurovision, the whole meaning of life is decoded and deconstructed.
Every year when you talk about this, I learn something new about Eurovision. I thought that only European countries were eligible to win. Other countries are eligible to win?
Of course, Israel has won it in the past. And I mean, Israel's entry this year, bookie's favourite. In fact, it's between Cyprus and Israel in terms of what's the leading lights for this particular area. I don't know, sort of mixed feelings yesterday. Lots of chicken sands in Israel's entry, which I'm sure Benjamin Netanyahu would possibly like to appropriate for one of his PowerPoint demonstrations about weapons and nuclear power and so on. There we are. So I thought, Benjamin, you can have that free of charge.
Okay, you're going to have to bear with me while I depart for a few minutes to read about the 62-year history of this.
He's going to research it and become an expert.
It'll work through. It brings us neatly around to it. I mean, Gabriella, will you be partying on down? Will you be supporting Surrey? I thought it was almost as though they'd taken the name from a Phil Lynas ident for Emma Tinson, really. Surrey and Storm. Or will it be a case of, no, you'll be supporting a whole range of things, including the Humans with Goodbye, the Romanian entry, still hasn't qualified as yet, or indeed Islands Together, or, again, one which has a heartfelt plea for migrants and refugees, Madame Monsieur with Merci, the French entry.
You know, I haven't watched Eurovision in years.
Unbelievable. You're in the heart.
I've read articles on it.
Alex is massively
offended. You know, newspaper.
You were at the heart of unbelievable. This year, four female presenters. No males. They do a fantastic job. Four female presenters, one of whom is regularly featured in NCIS Los Angeles.
Nice.
Yes, it's Kenzie Bly, otherwise known as Daniela Rua, true to her Portuguese heritage, who is co-hosting the Eurovision Song Contest in Portugal.
I wonder how she got that gig.
Because she's Portuguese.
Well,
and it's in Portugal. It makes perfect sense. And surely that's got to tap into the Los Angelino market. I mean, if you weren't going to sort of, you know, check it out, you've got to support one of your NCIS Los Angeles characters. I mean, let's face it, it's just a matter of a city that had Lily Holloman in NCIS New Orleans, let alone Los Angeles. I won't go into the celebrity writs and the lawsuits that went through between the makers of NCIS, the original one, and NCIS Los Angeles. It's a long and painful tale, and it doesn't end happily for Don Belisarius. Maybe it does, but still, what the heck. Maybe it's Sean Brennan.
This just in 1976, Brotherhood of Man won Eurovision for Save Your Kisses for Me. That's an outstanding song.
Exactly.
I did not know that one. Yeah. I have something to celebrate, so please bear with me for a few moments.
That's precise. With, as we said last night when it was raised, the final line in Save Your Kisses for Me, even though you're only three, which these days I wouldn't even try it. But I know.
That's a bizarre lyric. Why? My question is why?
Well, I think it was the whole song, The Brotherhood of Man.
I mean, you could have said 33.
Yeah, no. The idea was the quirkiness. And this was the quirkiness, which kind of had a similar analogy when Bucks Fizz won, when they ripped their skirts off. Making Your Mind Up in 1981. I think the quirkiness was that they're singing Save Your Kisses for Me, da, 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 da. And the suggestion is it's sung between two boyfriend, girlfriend, etc. But the twist, of course, is that it's possibly sung to a...
Like a polyamorous relationship.
No. An infant who obviously will be saving up all her kisses, or his kisses, whether we're gender specific, until we got to, you know, obviously legal age and so on. That's just my thought. You'd have to ask.
I was interpreting the polyamorous line as well. Actually, it didn't occur to me that it was about a child. Well. But then again, you know, I'm so immersed right now in the 62-year history of Eurovision. And
check out Spain's entry, which won with La 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 back in the early 60s.
What I don't understand is I'm looking through all these, and so you're saying that entries from anywhere can win, but there's never been an American winner.
Well, that's because they've been invited. I think you have to be invited. You see, Australia were invited 5 years ago, and we like them so much they can continue entering. Likewise, Israel, etc.
Why Australia? I mean, you open it up to Australia, the next thing you know, New Zealand is going to be there.
Slippery slope.
It doesn't
anyway.
I don't see any South American players.
No, you wouldn't. So, from you might occasionally.
So you lied to me. Not everyone can win because not everyone can enter.
They can if there's a European
This is
connection.
Why you're not invited to Eurovision, Phil.
Anyway, would you like to...
I mean, it hardly seems fair when the 52nd state is allowed to enter, the other 51 are not.
Life is like that, you know. We've found that Frodo is conscious. Phil, would you like to put those last two questions to Gabriella? She's got work to go to, and Richard Fitzwilliams will be fretting because he'll be thinking, they're not coming to me. You know, what's happening here? I want to listen to the Israeli entry toy with lots of chicken noises.
Okay, and then I'll get back to my Trumpian rant about how America is being treated unfairly by Eurovision.
Exactly. Exactly.
Gabriella, it's been going on far too long, and frankly, I blame Obama. Okay, Gabriella, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, I have. Thank you.
There was a long pause. I sense beneath your answer an underlying sadness.
Why?
She's sad because she has to go to work.
Because I'm not in Eurovision.
Exactly.
Okay. I should watch it this year.
Well, can we look forward to hearing from your good self again a week hence?
Yeah, hopefully next week.
Brilliant. And now from Israel, Netta. Again, Bookie's favourite. Likely, I would say. I think this could be top five. I don't think it's going to win. I think Britain, again, will probably finish maybe 12th, 13th, 14th, etc. I think Cyprus, very strong candidate for this. But for the benefit of Phil Leonis and our listener, and a little bit for Gabriella as well, and to take us round to Richard Fitzwilliams, it is Netta, with reference, of course, to Wonder Woman as a superhero in this particular number. Not Gal Gadot. She might host it if they win and it goes to Israel next year, of course. And Toy.
Your modern time preacher. Welcome, boys. Too much noise, I will teach ya. Pum pum po, prum pum po. Hey, I think you forgot that I play. My teddy bear's running away. The Barbie got something to say. Hey, 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 hey. My mama says leave me alone. I'm taking my Pikachu home. You're stupid, just like you're smart. So, Wonder Woman, don't you ever forget. You're divine. He's about to regret. I'm not your toy.
Not your toy.
You stupid boy.
Stupid boy.
I'll take you down. Now make you watch for.
Answer with my dolls on the mother what could be.
Not your toy.
About to regret.
He's a buck up, 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 buck
You see, clearly, if, in addition to the Stan Lee cameo, they'd actually had Ty Bynetta featured in Avengers Infinity War, it would have been a much, much, much better movie, wouldn't it, Richard Fitzwilliams?
Well, I can only say it would be different, because, I mean, when you review Avengers Infinity War, I intend to spend part of my review talking about what I saw when I saw it with the public.
Yeah, I know. And for Richard Fitzwilliams to see a movie with the great unwashed, or Josephine Q. Public.
To that phrase, I'm shocked that you had such an utterance. Especially
the
only a few days to the royal wedding. We need to restrict our language. I mean, yesterday, by the way, I must mention my huge PR project. It's the largest of my year, and that is promoting the Royal Society of Portrait Painters exhibition at the Mall Galleries, over 200 paintings by over 100 artists. And really, it's fascinating to see figurative art so alive and so diverse.
Yeah, I've actually just seen on your Instagram, Richard, all the photos you've taken with those people as well. Really, really cool.
Well, one interesting one with film, and that was to meet Sir Alan Parker, because obviously very, very famous film director and an absolutely charming man. And what was very interesting, of course, thinking back in his films, Midnight Express, Mississippi Burning and so on, I mean, I was fascinated to meet him. But it so happened that he'd been painted, and it was an absolutely superb work. It was inspired by Ingres' Monsieur Bertil, which is a very famous painting, and by Hero Johnson. And really, it's wonderful to see, not only meet him, but also see him with a work that did him justice.
And that's the reason Richard is just so pressurised and does so many delightful things. We've had to juggle around a few connections. A little plug as well for the discussion we were having with Dominic Sandbrook yesterday. The Crown from the Crowd, published now, of course, it's out now, it's published on May the 8th, presented as a gift from the people to Prince Harry and Meghan ahead of their wedding day. This is a whole collection of photographs, 2,000 images submitted by the public, dating back to Queen Victoria in the 1890s, and including candid shots of Princess Diana, Prince Harry and Meghan. So there we are, shameless plug from that.
Lovely idea, and I mean, this is an international event. I mean, what is absolutely fascinating.
So is the FA Cup final, Richard. I probably won't be watching either.
Prince William, I'm sure, will perhaps appear in a video or some such. I mean, the clash between the two, it isn't a clash, because in fact there's
not even a bank holiday for the citizens of the country. The
poor I have to be frank, I would have loved a bank holiday, though I know they're very, very costly, several billion. I would also have loved a Westminster Abbey wedding, but equally think of the problems that would have thrown up, and especially the
and I suppose as far as Windsor's concerned, it actually helps to clear the streets. Meanwhile, I know the heavy commentary on that one, which I won't go into, because in 1968, for our Eurovision folk, a decade of effort by fascist dictator Franco culminated in a Spanish win, which he hoped would bring the country closer to Western Europe. But Austria withdrew the following year in protest. Estonia actually had more success. They won in 2001 and were accepted into the EU 2 years later. Effectively, in 1956, the first Eurovision Song Contest, the lineup included Switzerland, Belgium, France, West Germany, Italy, Luxembourg and Netherlands. And only a month after the Eurovision Song Contest, those very same guest countries met to discuss forming some sort of customs union. That's why, Richard, that's why. It's not just a camp singing contest. If you want to understand Europe's politics, you need to watch Eurovision. Has that helped fill in, or are you still researching the 62-year history?
No, I've actually now been delving into whether or not the Obamas actually were invited to the wedding and decided not to come to avoid any sort of controversy surrounding
they
would be there.
Melania would simply have actually copied all of the speeches and things that the Obamas had actually said and be accused of plagiarism in the years to come. So it's bye for the bye.
Did you discover anything? Because as far as the official line is concerned, we know how close they are to Prince Harry and the Invictus, but the official line, of course, is the personal links between the 600 who are in St. George's Chapel and Harry and Meghan, and the Obamas say that they weren't invited. The whole point is, of course, not to disturb the waters with Trump, and the fact that if you ask Trump if it was the state occasion as it was in 1981 or indeed 2011, a semi-state occasion, you actually ask Trump or Melania Trump, you might very well find one or the other did metamorphose in some form, and as a result, the situation was so sensitive that that is one of the reasons the wedding has been, as it were, scaled down, but also made more personal.
When you say metamorphose, I'm sorry, Phil, but when Richard used the term metamorphose, now are we referring to the way in which frogs convert themselves into, or tadpoles convert into frogs?
Well, my reference actually, Alex, you will be familiar with Pythagoras's metempsychosis, won't you?
Indeed, yes.
Indeed, whereby the souls of humans be transformed to brutish beasts.
Be assigned.
Remember Dr. Faustus?
Of course.
Mentioned. Yes, exactly. So metamorphose into... Well, I left that to your imagination.
I still think Metamorphosis, the second season episode of Star Trek, is a much more wholesome line there, in which the nebulous alien life form takes on Commissioner Nancy Hedford, and effectively they become one and spend the rest of their life happily living with Zefram Cochrane, played by Glenn Corbett, on an asteroid somewhere out there. I'm sorry, I'm going off my Eurovision tangent once again, Phil Leonis, and I appreciate that you are equally as keen, having, I think, shared the kind of thoughts about Avengers Infinity War that I had. Shaylee, as you said, you cried at Infinity War.
It was a roller coaster of emotions, because one minute I was giggling and then the next I was sobbing, which my boyfriend found very bizarre.
Oh, just like a sci-fi Scarborough event.
Basically.
But you know, from your own crowd-watching that you took part in, Richard, was that something which resonated with yourself, or did you actually say, if I have one more battle with Black Panther in, I'm just going to actually start keeping a tally chart, basically?
Well, I can only say this. I mean, just to firstly review it very, very fleetingly. I mean, a review first of the amount it's taken at the box office. It's projected it may well... reap $2 billion.
Good news for Disney. Good news for Disney.
Good news for the cinema. I mean, one must admit that. And I mean, such plot as though as it is, you've got every Marvel character you can think of battling their most powerful enemy yet. Thanos, played by Josh Brolin, if he can collect 6 Infinity Stones, he can have power to control the universe and wipe out half mankind. Now, I mean, that is one aspect of it, and if you watch what's on the screen, you'll see an endless series of the music is ferociously loud. You will get endless battles. It's almost impossible, bar a certain character early on, to kill anybody, and it is a series, an assault on whatever you might consider your intellect.
Did you watch it in 3D, Richard? Or was
no,
it...
I just watched it, but I was also watching the audience, and what we just had is what the response Shelley gave was, in fact, what I saw, because I'm absolutely riveted. Firstly, following the various characters, whether it was Spider-Man, Captain America, you know, I mean, going through the cast of this would take us to it'd take us to infinity, because, I mean, I don't know who you mentioned, but Robert Downey Jr.
Mentioned Scarlett Johansson, Scarlett, Richard, you can tell it's a different movie, because she has a different colour hairstyle, or indeed a different routine. Every Black Widow incarnation has had a different hairstyle. You can actually spot the movie on the basis of Scarlett's hairstyle. She was blonde in this one.
I won't go through the entire cast, but the point was, I started people watching when what was on the screen I felt I'd seen. I would just mention that the aspects, the parts of the film set in Wakanda, I mean, I thought that was totally wasted, because I loved Black Panther, but not to diverge from what was I actually saw. Firstly, there was the laughter, the fact that they were identifying whether it was Groot, Rocket Raccoon, or whoever, and the fact that the audience were gripped by this. But what absolutely fascinated me was that when the film ended, I use the word ended advisedly, because of course it didn't, 90% of a packed cinema stayed in their place to see what must have been, it's eternity. I mean, the Ten Commandments famously had about 5 minutes of credits in 1956.
It's always good to have everybody acknowledged and mentioned, and the thousands of people who have actually worked in this movie.
Which took us to 5, 6, 7 minutes, or whatever it was. And then we had the clip which everyone was waiting for. And then after that, the buzz, the way they were discussing it, the excitement, it was almost tangible.
Like a royal wedding.
Well, I mean, you could almost say the cinematic equivalent. Alex, you put that, you said that real good, as Martha would say.
Well, thank you, sir. Phil, any thoughts or comments on Richard's interesting take on the Avengers Infinity War opus?
No, I said, Richard, that it's almost pointless to review a movie like this, not just because of the position it holds in the pop culture psyche at this point, but also because it's merely a prelude for part two. So, you know, the proof of the effectiveness of this film will be the effectiveness of part two. Exactly. So it's a little bit, I don't know. Like now, I said, it's almost pointless to try to review it as a normal film.
Taking a different little touch for the moment, Richard, before we move into your second track, I had a little double take when I was actually just checking out the Facebook feed for the aforementioned awesome Phil Leonis, kind of getting thoughts together in terms of how can we actually do a useful jingle for him? How can we put another one? Because it was time to actually refresh the jingle, which we heard earlier in the programme. And I noticed that on the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, on the air, episode 16, he features the editor of Fly Me to the Moon, Middlesbrough Football Club's fanzine. Or does he?
What?
It's Robert Nichols, Middlesbrough fanzine. And no, checking again, good ham and egger, not Middlesbrough Football Club supporter, Robert Williams, discussing the May the 12th Los Feliz neighbourhood council election. Curious. Presumably, two different Robert Nichols, Phil.
Yes, indeed.
exactly.
Not since Steve Coogan's Alan Partridge has there been a name game as entertaining as the one you're playing right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
I have never heard anything like it myself, ever.
But I thought you would have said, when you're peeling potatoes in a literary society in Guernsey, that would obviously take you to a whole new essence. And I'm not sure whether you even had time to download the original review of the book we gave back in the day, Richard.
I haven't.
No.
I really haven't. For reasons that I won't go into, but I think you understand. Incidentally, I didn't mention Anthony and Joe Russo direct Avengers Infinity War insofar as it matters, and I agree with everything Phil said. And as I say, I'm an anthropologically, it's absolutely unforgettable. And yes, part two, we will no doubt discuss
we've
that
got,
again.
We've got the Wasp and Ant-Man before then. We've got Miss Marvel. There's so many goodies and more DC entries
as well.
Are
you sure the word goodies applies?
Of course. Exactly. Let's be positive.
Of course, but nothing is ever certain. And Marvel's, well, I mean, it is a marvel at the box office, but my good gracious me, I mean, an assault upon the senses. So we move, of course, to the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Society.
Have you seen the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Society, Phil Leonis?
Wow, okay, hold on, let me open up another screen. Please tell me it's not got a 62-year history.
No, it's quite...
It's set in 1946, and we're not 62 years, it's longer than that, but over 70. But this is the Brits calling on the nostalgia package, and it really, really... called Quintessentially British, directed by Mike Newell. Images of Englishness that are intended to make those waiting for the royal wedding salivate.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
Well, so an appetizer, then.
Well, I mean, frankly, I would call it... Well, I'm not quite sure what I would call it, actually, because it had a lot of potential. Lily James plays Juliet Ashton. She's a writer who had a near-death experience during the Blitz. She's well known. She writes under a pseudonym, Izzy Bickenstaff, a publisher. Rupert Good, played by Rupert Good, is very fond of both her and, of course, the fact that she's making a lot of money and she's being pursued by a wealthy American, Markham Reynolds, who's courting her. And she receives a letter from a stranger from Guernsey called Dorsey Adams, who asks about Charles Lamb and who is part of the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. And now it's well worth remembering, of course, Guernsey being occupied by the Germans during the war. This began as the cover for curfew breaking. And so Juliet wants to do an article on the society, visits Guernsey, learns more about the society, its past, and also about Dorsey, I have to say, played by Michelle Haseman, and the members of the society. There's been Elizabeth McKenna, played by Jessica Brown Findlay, who was arrested by the Germans and has not returned home. What has happened to her? And the society members are raising her son, Kit. That's rather strange, isn't it? Perhaps, or not, maybe. They're not keen on an article being written about them, especially Amelia, played by Penelope Wilton. And, of course, there's Eben, played by Tom Courtenay. All these names that are so famous, it's so British from every visual of Guernsey, which, and the visuals are magnificent, to every twee cottage. What exactly are the secrets of the society? What precisely happened to Elizabeth, and what indeed happens to Lily and her romance and her private life? These questions, I mean, I have to say this movie is quite enjoyable, and certainly it ticks boxes far too obviously, and frankly, without giving a spoiler as to what Elizabeth got involved, or should I say who Elizabeth got involved with during the German occupation and what happened subsequently to her, you could see a manufactured, contrived movie every or almost every single shot says this is England at a period
in our lives where...
Yes, a period in our lives, a period in Guernsey, the period in Guernsey, which was, of course, terrifying.
Enemy at the door and battles with Jersey.
Not
an
enemy at the door. The enemy was, in fact, quite literally occupying Jersey.
Exactly.
But, frankly, it's some bits of this are too unbelievable. It could be that Elizabeth had an affair with a German soldier, and it could be that she actually, or a German officer, actually took him to a meeting of the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society, and they held hands, and everyone else looked rather disapproving. Now, if you believe that that is likely, then I do not.
Richard, we all know the real reason that we were successful in our battle against fascism in the 1940s. It was all down to Angela Lansbury and her bedknobs and broomsticks with the substitutionary locomotion machine. I mean, this is fact, documented by Disney. They've produced Star Wars and Marvel, so you cannot go against that.
Indeed you cannot, but I would say this is about the same level as some of that, and quite frankly, look, why not? I mean, indulge, gorge
exactly.
In a bit of nostalgia, there's no harm in it.
It's what Fuzz Aldrin has been crying out for, or even meowing out for.
And Lily James does her English Rose act with aplomb, and Tom Courtenay's never given a bad performance, but mind you,
Is that Lily James with a plum in the mouth? Sorry.
I liked also, I have to say, Penelope Wilson. She's the best thing in this movie. And also, of course, they've got that decor. If this film had pause, nostalgia would seep out of every one of them.
Well, there you go. Will you be seeing it, Shirley?
I will indeed. I really enjoy Lily James as an actress, and I'm really excited to see her in Mamma Mia as well.
And what about yourself, Linus?
This is exactly the kind of movie that I'm likely to see at the Directors Guild with a rather older, let's say a more mature audience, and it would probably drive me nuts hearing the conversations afterwards about so many people saying, see, this is the kind of movie they need to be making more of.
Yeah.
If it was the movie that I saw on a transatlantic flight to visit the UK, it would have me weeping like a baby. So it really, I guess, it depends on the mood that I'm in at the time. It certainly seems like a charming film, an agreeable film. It's a comforting film, though I heard the word contrived in there. I didn't hear the words effortless charm. So I do think I need to be in the right mood for it.
No, I agree. That does sum it up. I was in the mood for it in a way. But on the other hand, I think it I think you'd get a bit impatient with the contrivances. Effortless charm, well, yes, there is a certain charm. I mean, visually, it's fantastic. It really is, and it's meant to be, because, of course, it wants to lure tourists to go and see. I didn't say that, of course.
Of course, Richard, I'm pleased. I mean, sorry, we're going to have to finish it now. I mean, that sort of blatant sort of slash across the bows there. Just, next week, I'm sorry, but this particular slot will be taken by Stephanie Romoshevsky, a sleep specialist. So, you know, we'll coordinate
We've
with yourself.
Bumped.
And I know we'll be having a royal wedding feature with you, which we'll be pre-recording beforehand. But apart from that, it's going to be at least a fortnight before I can ever allow you back on the programme. Sorry, Richard. But
you're in a timeout.
We can't pre-record a review of the royal wedding.
I don't know. Where's your time machine?
Bill
and Ted's Excellent Adventure is coming back. Why not? Why can't we just? Most fantastic.
What we'll be doing on Saturday, or what I'd planned to do, was, in fact, firstly, Entebbe, which is quite an interesting take on the 1976 raid, and secondly, and this is, I'm sure, Phil, I'd love to hear Phil on this for a second, because last weekend I saw the, it's a commemoration of 50 years David Wood attended, Malcolm McDowell sent good wishes, of Lindsay Anderson's classic movie, a sublime and poetic work, If.
Mm. Let's go to the top of that public school and let's shoot people, as Malcolm McDowell would say.
I am not going to address necessarily If, except to say as illustrative of what an impact the film had on me. Many years later, I made a film called Karl Rove, I Love You, that played at Cannes, and we weren't sure we were done with the movie. And Malcolm McDowell was in attendance, and he was completely fooled by my movie, which was a fictional documentary. Not a mockumentary. We used documentary approach, but it was entirely a fiction. And he was fooled by it and said that he remembered the events in it. And he asked questions about, like, is this person still missing? Is this? And when I knew that we had fooled Malcolm McDowell, I knew we were done. But I didn't have the courage to tell him any of this. And years later, I saw him at an event, and I went up to him with a DVD copy of the film. And I said, I don't expect you to remember, but I directed this movie, and you played an important role in finishing it. And he looked at the cover of it, and he looked at me, and he said, you directed this? And I said, yes. And he said, this is one of my favorite movies I've ever seen.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a really wonderful experience. But yes, Malcolm McDowell in that film, and then of course Alex in Clockwork Orange,
never forgiven him for killing Captain Kirk. I mean, that's the end, really. I mean, it's really
well, I have to say those two. I mean, yes, because they're a lucky man following with McTravis following the same character wasn't the success.
He's in The Artist.
But there's no question If and Clockwork Orange. Oh, I mean, a stunning
and Star Trek Generations. But anyway, let's step away from Star Trek Generations because...
Come on, let's step away from Star Trek Generations and instead talk about the Time After Time.
And of course, following a whole range of things, which brings us full circle. Shaley, would you like to put those last two questions to Richard, please?
Indeed. Richard, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Enormously.
Perfect. And will you be back in 2 weeks' time?
Well, I shall be back in 2 weeks' time, and we'll certainly have a royal wedding catch-up, and also looking forward to Saturday.
Now, Phil, would you like to hear, as we sort of almost prepare to say, have a great Thursday to yourself in Los Angeles, the United Kingdom's entry into Eurovision this year, allowing for the fact that you do our meteorological conditions from Los Angeles for Lincoln. It's called Storm, and the artist is called Surrey. With the fringe on top. Are you ready for that, Phil? And then we could you can listen to this, and then you can actually say, it's never going to win. Ireland won't give us any more than 2 points for that. I might as well go back to supporting Crystal Palace. Will you actually...
Well, as the entry from the 52nd state of these United States, mm-hmm. of course, mm-hmm. I would love to hear it, since it's the closest chance we have to winning.
Exactly. It's 3 months' worth. Phil, Richard, we salute you. Take care. Your channel is now being faded down, and I know you will be glued quite literally to your TV sets and radios to see us all hashtag all aboard with the 2018 Eurovision Song Contest.
I will indeed.
Hey, hey, brother. Do you remember when we were kids with no fear? Hey, hey, sister. Do you believe in the things we dreamt we discovered? I still have faith. I still believe in chasing rainbows. Storms don't last forever, forever. Remember, we can hold our hands.
The point. Oh, we'd love that, wouldn't we, Ian Lennox? It's gone very quiet in the Newcastle.
Hello, sorry.
Yeah, he's just, you know, Ian, he listens to it through the telephone. I don't know. I'm sure he's just gone to Phil Lennox. Phil, I know we're keeping you away from, again, the joys of just chilling out and relaxing into a glorious, I say again, glorious May Day in Los Angeles. But what did you make of our entry by Suri, Susan, and Maria? All one word. Compartmentalised into Suri. That's how the name Suri comes around. She said it herself in an interview on Tuesday in the semi-final. What did you think of Storm?
I thought it was okay.
At first, I heard a song. I was thinking to myself, when was the last time I heard a song for the first time that I enjoyed this much? And by the end of the song, I actually thought I had heard it many, many, many times and will not need to hear it again.
There we are. And Ian said it was okay. So very good indeed. Ollie and Obo, your cats, Ian, how are they?
They seem to be okay. They had their breakfast. One of them's just come in, the other one's just gone out.
Now, in the remaining moments we've actually got here, this is something I haven't actually done as yet, because obviously we've introduced Ian Lennox from Tyneside. Sorry about Tottenham beating you 1-0 last night. Still, never mind, we can't all be Manchester City. Oh. But in terms of the feline connection, you see Fuzz Aldrin, rescue cat in Los Angeles, major spiritual guide. If it was the joys of Golden Compass, or indeed Philip Pullman, Fuzz Aldrin would effectively be the demon to Phil Leonis. That's the sort of connection that's made there. That's perspective. And likewise, Ollie and Obo, Ian Lennox's cats, etc. Now's the time, gentlemen, for you to spend a couple of minutes sharing cat tales across the Atlantic Ocean in terms of Fuzz Aldrin in Los Angeles and Ollie and Obo in Newcastle on Tyne. Perhaps, Ian, would you like to tell us and Phil Leonis what Ollie and Obo are all about and how they adopted you.
I don't think cats really adopt you at all. They just use you. I'm a very good food station for them. But they take no looking after. And when they display an affection for you, it's like a great gift being given to you, I find. Dogs are a responsibility because you have to look after them and they're all licking your face and things. If cats come sitting in these, like, you've been accepted by somebody who's potentially an alien.
You've been accepted by somebody who's potentially an alien. Does that chime with you, Phil Lernis?
Yeah, you know, I've always said that, the cat definitely chooses you. You can try to choose the cat as much as you want, but it chooses you. And it has to choose you again and again. I mean, it's not one of those things where, okay, now I've won this cat over, and then they stay loving forever. No, you have to keep being worthy of their choice. I appreciate dogs. I love dogs. I love all animals. But I think most people, at least in America, love dogs so much because dogs so desperately want to be people. And I love cats because cats know they're better than people.
And that, effectively, is as profound as
that
we
can
possibly
do. That is so
true. Exactly. And once again, Phil Lernis has actually taken that ball and actually smashed it out of the park. Ian, would you like to ask Phil Lernis in Los Angeles those last two questions, please?
Have you had an interesting telecommunication link?
Wow.
Yes, always interesting. It's been a joy to be back.
And can we expect your company next week?
I've been inconsistent, so I wouldn't say expect it, but I aim to be here.
Right. Very diplomatic.
On Wednesday, our very own Jodie Orton has got a local author called Abigail Tartalan, author of Dead Girls, who's actually going to be in the studio this coming Wednesday. So Abigail's going to be making her debut on the whole package. So, and if it's recommended by Jodie Orton, who is indeed co-presented live with Phil Lernis and Dean Hagland in downtown Los Angeles for the weekly Chilpack Hollywood show, which is obviously accessible through chilpackhollywood.com.
Second shameless plug.
Dead Girls, presumably. That's the title. That's all I'm saying. It's the title. We'll find out when Abigail starts sharing with us, hopefully next Wednesday. Phil, we salute you. Take care now. You can close your hailing frequencies after one English hour.
That's a long time.
It is, since we connected. It's one English hour that's actually there. Actually, 1 hour, 4 minutes, 30 seconds, according to the precise time and counting. So we salute you, and all's well with the world. Farewell, Phil.
Thank you. Good night.
Marvellous. It's like David Letterman, just sort of working, except better. And Ian, what can I say? We are scooting round to the next hour. We'll be talking to Apprentice winner Mark Wright, and indeed businessman, about small businesses who are angry over lack of government support for SMEs, that's small, medium enterprise companies and so on. We'll be talking about British schools possibly leaving themselves wide open to US-style massacres by not training their teachers to spot mental health issues in their students. And we'll be finding out about global trends in the world of meat-free barbecues and artificial intelligence travel bots. So I'm afraid, Ian, much as I'd love to talk about all of the records that effectively Pep Guardiola's side has been setting, 97 points and counting, hopefully we'll get to 100 points by beating Southampton over the weekend, we will have to hold fire for another time, if that's okay.
That's okay with me.
You're so very good indeed.
Not mine do, but anyway.
Yeah, well, these, you know, Newcastle, Huddersfield and Brighton all survived. So when Ben Lewis returns to the studio, you can at least celebrate on the fact that you're still both in the Premier League.
Yes.
Exactly.
And under Mr. Ashley, that's about as good as I expect.
Well, you know, that, and of course, there is the Eurovision Song Contest to look forward to, which is coming up in a matter of hours from now.
You may look forward to it, Alex, and I couldn't possibly comment.
Sometimes I'm confused by Ian Shaley. I really am. I get confused by his views. But anyway, Shaley, would you like to put those last two questions, please, to Ian, just so we actually tie the bow neatly round the first hour of this programme?
Ian, have you enjoyed your short but sweet telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, it was short but sweet.
And will you be back next Thursday?
I do hope so.
Great.
We're giving you Bulgaria's entry into the Eurovision Song Contest, Bones, to actually see you through the whole thing. The band's called Equinox, should you wish to actually download it, Ian.
Love is like a black hole. everything is dark. You just gotta let go and feel it, feel it, feel it. We fell off the deep end just to get a rush. You know that it's right when you feel it, feel it, feel it.
What is life if it's just your soul?